Welcome to Grit and Gravitas with Ann and Annie, bringing you savvy, spirited stories of success. We're excited to deliver 30 minutes of inspiration, impact, and goodness. We'll be bringing you guests and friends from around the country who have very special work and personal journeys. I'm Ann Dieter Gallagher, your co-host with Annie Carnathan, and this is Grit and Gravitas. Let's go! Happy podcast day, Sue Para, Annie Carnathan. This is a special day. Every time we're together, it's a special day.
The honorary mayor of Camp Hill, Sue Para.
I know. Sue, when we talk about women in business, we talk about entrepreneurship, Annie. We talk about women in high gear.
Checks every role
models,
box.
Community servants, leadership. That is, I'm looking at the epitome of all of those qualities. Sue Para, thanks for all you do. I have had the honor of calling you a best friend for a long time. Now, we do have history.
A bestie.
We do, yes. We do have history. We share the same high school, not quite the same year.
Yes, right. Please, no bragging.
We were both cheerleaders, Camille, so we could at any time erupt into a take a V at an I. Try a C-T-O-R-Y. But anyway, I've been honored to watch your business flourish. You have hit 30 years at Cornerstone Coffee House?
Yep, we will this year. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like how? What's the percentage of small businesses that hit 30? I want to say it's less than 5%.
Yes.
Are still in business I would say, yes.
And not only be in business, but be relevant.
Oh, there you go.
In business.
Yeah. And so for in the hospitality business, to have survived COVID and the pivots that you did with that, and you're stronger and more relevant than ever, I think that's quite the accomplishment. Yes. But you're really, Sue has been active in leadership in just about everything, statewide, regionally, and on, you know, one of the founding board members of Downtown Camp Hill Association, which is an organization formed to revitalize small businesses on Market Street in downtown Camp Hill. But you, Cornerstone, has become, well, has been the heartbeat of our small town.
Thank you. You have said that, and I really love it every time you do.
Well, and I have my, so cheers to our video friends. You know, I've got my Cornerstone Coffee House, and we are recording in Heart Month, so shout out to Peyton Walker Foundation.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen.
For CPR and AEDs and educating on sudden cardiac arrest, which you, obviously, as the community hub, you're such a vital part of education in our community and just being able to use your coffee shop to educate others on what the needs are. So give us a quick synopsis, because I always think these episodes are way too short, on your growth. Like how you did not start in coffee shops 101. How did you?
No.
How did
no,
you come
I definitely
to
didn't.
Cornerstone?
I sort of, you know, went from graduating from college to a sales job, of course.
Oh,
I,
there you
of
go.
Of course. You know, I sort of got that.
After
honestly.
My own heart.
Yes. Yeah, see, I mean, we're just from my father who, and you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Who was certainly the salesperson of the year every year for me. And then quickly moved into IT during the 70s and 80s and 90s. And then towards the late 90s, I decided enough of working for somebody else and enough of working in IT, I really wanted my own business and I wanted
okay, can
it
I just cheers to that? To,
cheers,
to
girlfriend.
That.
Cheers.
Yes. Cheers.
Yes.
Yes. Definitely okay. Cheers to that. So thankfully, you know, I feel so fortunate to have found something that I absolutely love to do and something that fits who I am.
Great.
There you go.
Great.
It is. It's the Cheers Bar of Camp Hill.
Thank you. It is.
Everyone knows your name. You know everyone's name. And I'm fascinated by the connection of people. Because offices aren't that anymore. There's a huge delta, right? Between people in their house for regardless of and out. And I just, that place, your place, that central location is teeming with humanity.
Mm. Oh, that's a good word.
It's delicious. Yeah. Right. It is delicious, but it's just, I'm fascinated by that.
I've often said it's not just a coffee shop. I mean, we can get coffee anywhere.
Right.
And communities aren't known by the amount of large chains they have. They're known by their organic meeting places. Mm-hmm. And we call them third spaces. It's if you're not at home and you're not at work, where do you meet? Cornerstone is that meeting place for our entire region. But do you ever stop to consider how many deals are brokered either in your back gorgeous kitchen or in the front of house at the coffee shop? How many young people literally wrote their entrepreneurial idea on a Cornerstone napkin or invited a CEO for coffee at Cornerstone
or
met,
fell in love?
Or
got a proposal.
That's a good one.
Or,
Annie, that is true.
I mean, it's everything that is the spirit,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And honestly, as you sit here, Sue, because I don't know you well, and I'm connecting the dots of why that is you.
Mm-hmm.
And who wouldn't be thrilled for you, be thrilled for that space? It's you don't work a day in your life.
Yeah, I sort of sometimes feel that way, even though it's probably the hardest thing I've ever done. But I am, again, just so fortunate to do what I love to do. And you talk about community. You know, when we talk about that, it's something I really didn't think about. I was thinking as a means to live and to buy a house and to buy a car. Not thinking about the greater depth of what Cornerstone Coffee House has truly become, which just as you said, for every reason both of you mentioned, Cornerstone is certainly the hub of this region.
They fell in love. Now their kids are there in strollers beside them. They didn't
have
dogs.
Such a great
and now
idea.
The dogs grew up and it's, you can see it.
And it's not even an idea. It's true. It has happened. A number of
it
people
has manifested,
have
yes.
met there, have got married, and now have kids. And
oh,
you know,
so
sometimes
fun.
I don't know until after the fact that they met at the
Cornerstone.
Last year, I went to buy a car, and the person who helped me learn how to use all the gadgets in the car, he and his girlfriend of maybe a year had met at Cornerstone.
No way.
And now when I've talked to him just recently, he said, yeah, I think I'm going to get engaged to her. So isn't that great? So it does happen, Annie.
Yep. It does happen. And I have to tell you, and I mean, you'll have to get us back on the rails as usual, but but what is also incredible to me, and I know it day to day in our business, is your people.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Because there are so many moving parts there. Mm-hmm. An extraordinary amount of moving parts. Mm. From the food in the case to ordering food to specialized kind of like it's it's wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. As maybe there are 8 or 10 people in line, and if it's summer, they're out the door, and so they're out in the pet lawn, and so that has to be extraordinary to you to
it
attract
is.
And have that kind of talent who I think cares every bit as much as you do. And I don't even know that. I know how they make me feel.
Oh, that's
well, and you don't
so
have
great.
The struggles of the workforce that most companies have, which is another
in,
sign.
Especially in that vertical? Holy smokes.
You have people with college degrees who are choosing to serve the community at Cornerstone.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
You know,
what's
and you
the
both
sauce?
Know it. It's the culture that you bring to your business. It's the Sue and the Al.
Yep.
It's the Nicole Miller.
We don't
want to
leave
manager.
Al, your husband. Al,
oh no, we don't want to leave Al out. No,
he was fondly called Big Al.
Big Al, right? But you know, it's the whole thing. It starts at the top. We all know that. But it comes down and they just sort of learn through you or me or whomever to treat people well.
Right,
they emulate what I might do.
What's mom.
Or what Nicole is doing. It's just, and again, it's all in how you treat the people who work with you.
Yeah.
I mean, and we treat them well. We treat them as though they're
family.
They're equal to me. You know, they're equal to everyone in this room. Yeah. So, yes, yeah. I'm very adamant about that. It's a passion.
Yeah, and you can't, you're not going to get it over on me.
Yeah.
Right. Starbucks, to Anne's point up front, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like any other place to be.
Thanks.
And so that is walking the walk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's no way that just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extraordinary, again, extraordinarily difficult vertical, especially through COVID, right. especially mm-hmm. through having that job. And so I think, Sue, when I listen to you, why do you have such a need to lead in all the different, Anne mm-hmm. said you're, you know, you serve as a leader and a servant on so many different levels. What is mm-hmm. your need for that? What drives that?
I think it's sort of innate in me. I think as a young child, I always was sort of wanting to lead.
Yeah.
And it does come from
I'm
my parents.
At that.
Yeah, I know.
I think my parents would have said the same.
They wanted, I mean, it's not that my parents vocally said, I want you to be a leader.
Yeah.
But it just sort of came naturally from my mother and my father. My mother in particular, because I know, Anne, you know, my mother, Nancy Besh, who was a former Cumberland County commissioner. She was a force to be reckoned with. She's smart.
But the sweetest
she is
force
just,
to be reckoned
oh,
with.
Oh, no, the yeah. sweetest force. But she just knew. She was committed to what she did, and she was a leader in so many ways. I mean, anything that she was involved with, she was mm-hmm. the leader of the pack. She saved Wilson College.
Yeah, wow.
She was the leader. She headed the Cumberland County Commissioners because she's a leader. And so I get it naturally, of course, from her, and then I get so much of my nice personality. Not that my mother isn't, but my father was the nicest man. Aww. And Anne,
well,
I know you
knew successful
him.
In sales.
And very successful in sales, me and Annie, right?
Well, and I think too, just listening to that, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have mistaken their kindness for weakness.
Right.
Because when you're a leader, mm-hmm. you need collaborators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you need to shed sort of along the way mm-hmm. all the people that aren't going to share the mission, share their mm-hmm. load, share the ideas and the vision. And that's super, mm-hmm. super difficult mm-hmm. in the same vein as the nicest people ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it's just mistakes happen. You know, there's a, especially as a woman, right? To have her personality, to have that accomplished. I'm like, oof, man, they're heavy lifts.
Yeah.
Right? She had to break a few eggs.
Right. She had to break some barriers too, my mother.
I'll bet.
And my mother helped me to break barriers within me, therefore within my friendships, therefore within my staff that works with me.
Yeah.
I mean, I really, it's so important to me in particular, because I know this is a program that, you know, we want to make sure that women have the same opportunities mm-hmm. as everyone. And so I really encourage my staff to not be afraid, to be strong, you know, to stand
find
up for
voice.
Who they are, to find a voice. Right, right, right. Yes.
Our purpose here, Sue, I know I've mentioned mm-hmm. a couple of times, is to shorten the learning curves of other women. And so born from our own curiosity and our own paths to executive leadership or business ownership, I often said, I wish I would have known that. I wish someone taught me that.
Yes.
Because I started at age 40, I didn't have 30 years to figure this journey out. So I was not at all above asking male CEOs, female CEOs, anyone, yourself included, who I thought had influence to just, you know, ask every question possible and learn from them and fill my own mind. But when we often think about, we've had many guests on here who are business owners who started their business, like Pamela Hill, her episode came out today. And they're, you know, you have this business model or a strategy, you got to put down your business plan. But starting a coffee shop, you know, we talk about cultures and you're going to attract and retain workers. You probably didn't put in that business plan the personality of the workers you wanted or what you wanted the atmosphere of the coffee shop to be. My point is there's so many soft skills on this side of the ledger. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you have to convince your banker to, you know, invest in you. But to get Cornerstone off, you know, from paper to property, you had to have a tremendous amount of soft skills.
Well, you have to. But may I just take it back and just say, you know, just to get a bank to invest in me.
Tell us about that journey, because we've had almost all of our women talking about that. It wasn't like, it was almost like getting a root canal.
No, I mean, it is. It is like getting a root canal. You know, it's a rude awakening when you think that you've been successful and then you go to a bank and find out, oh, you're going to need a lot more than that. You know, yeah. You're going to need your husband to be here with you. Now, this is back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
But still, that's recent.
It
you
is.
Know?
It is.
So, no, it wasn't the late 90s, early 90s. But the other thing was, is that even that, you know, it's hard for women. I hope it's not as hard now, but even 25 years ago when I went to finance the decision when we decided to buy Cornerstone, I still, even with my success at my former business at Breads and Cheese of Hershey, I still had to prove myself. Yeah. And the bank that I had been using for those 10 years at Breads and Cheese wanted me to prove myself.
Well, you already had
what
10
I
years.
Already did.
Yeah, right.
And I remember thinking, oh my God, I have to go through this again. And my brother-in-law, Rod Pera, said to me, Sue, there are other banks.
Oh, that's I was going to say,
Right? Right? There are other banks. Because, you know, we sometimes as women,
we are loyal.
We lock ourselves in.
We're loyalists.
Right. Yeah. And so I thought, there are? There are other banks? Literally.
I can leave?
I went right down to Pennsylvania State Bank.
Oh, that's right down the street. Yeah.
Yep.
It was right down the street.
Jeff Myers, who then went to Centric Bank. Jeff was down there. He was the loan officer.
Oh, you're one of your good friends.
One of the greatest humans on the planet.
I love him.
He is everything.
Yep. Yep.
Look at the
human
small world.
Oh, yes. And I mean, just as like what he says, you can bank on it. No pun intended, right?
No.
He's
so
just,
you went. He believes. He believes.
Absolutely.
He believed in me.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
Literally within 24 hours, I had a loan. I was done.
And many other people since then.
That has been his impact on the world.
Awesome.
Yep. So I encourage women, you know, if they ask me, how did you do this? What do you do? Where do I start? There's always you start it with a business plan.
Right.
But don't take no for an answer.
Totally agree.
You have got to use your voice.
Yeah.
And we have heard so many ant and rubber tree plant stories of women who just wouldn't take no. Mm-hmm. And one of the early things Ian and I, when her son Ben was doing our G&G song, is like, there was no plan B for him.
No.
There's no plan. No. There was no plan B for me.
No.
And so many of our guests, there was no plan B.
Right.
Pamela Hill's a perfect example, just because she's the most recent. But we could go back. I mean, almost everyone had a setback.
Yep.
And a comeback.
Yes. Yes.
For not letting someone else define any part of them. The dentist.
Right.
She had the same issue.
Sarah Lorai.
Yeah.
Pamela Hill went to 7 banks before number 8 said yes. And that was M&T. This is 25 years ago, and she's still with M&T. Because. And the ones who said no have since, over time, come back and asked for her business. I said, this is like Pretty Woman. You know, when she comes back in there, and it's a big mistake.
We need one mistake. Person, ladies, to believe in us. You know, the advocacy has to start with yourself, but someone out there will believe in you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it only takes one person. Right.
But if you, you know, when you're wise counsel, Sue, to younger women, especially, and this is applicable to younger men too, who are trying to figure out how to approach a financial institution, credit union or bank, you're going to have no's in every step of this journey in business of ownership. You will have no's. It might hurt. You might be offended. You might be upset. You might want to crumple up your business plan and throw it away. Get back in there like the wrestlers. Get back up there on the mat and go in again and knock on another door or another door. So we can't wallow in that, but that's good for you that you know, good for your brother. I said, you realize there are other banks.
Right. There are other banks. Oh, okay. Really? Well, and you have said this to me, and I remember the first time you said it, put your big girl pants on.
I know.
You know, get out there
yeah.
and find it and do it. If you believe in it, you know.
You were meant to find it. Jeff Myers, in my opinion, because yep. that's, yeah, yeah, yep. that's someone right. who has believed in many, many mm-hmm, entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes him special. I think that was centric to mm-hmm. centric, mm-hmm. Yeah. you know, as far uh-huh. as the missions go. Right. And so you need community banks mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. aren't going to necessarily look at the paper, especially mm-hmm. after 10 years of success. Like,
oh
what?
My gosh, are you what? Kidding?
Yeah. It's offensive to oh me. God. And I'm like, I wasn't even there, right? But so it's like, offensive. Wait, what do you mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah, are yeah. you kidding?
Yeah.
And so, that was, yeah, 25 years ago. But I think the other thing that I think a lot about, and you mentioned it, Anne, is I started out in my late 30s in mm-hmm. my doing my own business. I never had a mentor. All I knew is that I like to cook and I like people. Yeah. So mentorship is so, yeah. so, so, so important. Mentorship to me is key. And I never really had it.
I didn't yeah. either.
I yeah. never
had it. I didn't either.
And even to this day, but if I can say my mentorship then came from yep. being on boards,
yep. Yep.
being on committees, volunteering yourself, mm-hmm. which again to me is just another key component to making yourself within yourself more successful, be it financially, personally, whatever it is. We as women have to be involved.
Well, every time we see Cornerstone, you know, sponsoring, I'm going to say Salvation Army because you've been sure. gracious, even through the pandemic. You were so gracious about delivering sandwiches or coffee or soups or whatever in any, you know, for our team that was trying to keep the rest of the community served that was underserved. The amount of time you've invested in others, the amount of auction baskets I have mm-hmm. seen you, that's a quiet reminder to the community that Sue has invested. You know, when we talk about the bigger brands, they're not buying advertisers or PR services in our backyard. They are not sponsoring our little leagues. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. might be doing things on a national, but it's incumbent on the small business community that keeps the rest of all the school events, the athletics, the mm-hmm. the PTOs. You're the one that's sponsoring those. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful example for young people as well to roll up your sleeves and get involved. And it does have a business strategy involved there. Like oh, you said, people definitely. See how you behave. Maybe it's on a golf course, you know, and you decide to sponsor, you know, a hole or a company
right.
or something.
Right.
And you use that to learn more about business opportunities mm-hmm. or individual leaders. But I love seeing how, I often marvel, how are you serving in all the capacities you're serving? But I've been privileged to sit on committees with you. And, I'm thinking back of the early Vistage group.
yes.
and we learned a lot together. And I think yeah. that's really our goal. Annie was constantly saying, younger people, listen to our stories because you can save yourself a lot of time and hardship, you know, by learning from our lessons of how we did things.
I think the dearth for me of mentors mm-hmm. now right. is completely what drives me. The most important thing, especially for young women, mm-hmm. is to see their career grow, is to see them get promoted, is to do this show mm-hmm. so graciously with guests and with Anne and with our time and our investments. It's just I'm close to being obsessed with it. And so that's I great. Think that's what we're trying so to do with this mm-hmm. in real time through mm-hmm. stories mm-hmm. and not just necessarily ours, which we've sort of shared in a deep way. It's through yours mm-hmm. because women are wildly successful. If we can just have a forum to amplify that mm-hmm. and listen to that story and apply it to someone's life. And so that's what I really love about this show is our guests being able to say, whew. You know, this is what I wish I knew then.
Right.
Right. To sort of say directionally, consider this, mm-hmm. consider as much as you can out there and then apply it to yourself, your personality, your style, your situation. And by all means, ask us, run into us at Cornerstone to be able to figure out how we can have coffee together. Right.
But follow Sue wherever she is. Right. She's holding court somewhere. So,
but think about what you both are doing. I mean, I'm not trying to turn the tables, but how young women are going to be listening to this show and getting some just some great information from women who have been in the workforce for a while, very, very different parts of life, and how it will affect them. How
and
it's
the determination, right? I love hearing you talk about your parents.
Yeah.
I mean, huge. Let's pay some homage. And now this half hour for anyone in your life who hears it is recorded history in perpetuity for your career. And that's neat to me.
Thanks.
You know, and so parents and kids and, you know, it's just this huge sort of chapter story of success and how sometimes it really gets off the rails.
Yes.
I think they don't, what you shared, Sue, they don't teach in college.
100%.
And we've all been to college. There are entrepreneurship classes. There's entire schools of business, you know, for Wharton. All of those are designed.
Ship hip hooray.
Yes. To hear the stories and the personal struggles, those aren't being lectured about very often. If they are, I never heard them before. So I think this is like a professional development course for anyone. Like how, go through the guests. How did they start a business? What were their fears? What were their challenges?
So, what were the dark moments where...
Well, and you're very good at...
You have to get back up. Let's go.
Pulling that out of people, which kind of gives anyone with a business idea... You want to take off the rosy colored glasses. Like you know, there'll be dark days and down days and days where you think maybe this wasn't the right investment. Maybe if you have investors, there's days you're going to have to go back and convince them, like, you know, 10 bank loan officers, why they should still believe in you. But I firmly believe if you're able to meet a need with your business, you're going to succeed. Mm-hmm. So clearly you're not selling coffee.
No.
You're selling just the opportunity to build a sense of community, to meet colleagues, to discuss, you know, business or home. For new moms, it might be their first time out of the house with their newborn. I'm going to Cornerstone. And I want to observe through the pandemic, Sue stayed open. You put your apron back on, came out of the C-suite, back into service mode. And it really, from the outside, it was a wonderful symbol to the rest of us that things were going to be okay.
Oh, that's nice, Anne.
Cornerstone was still
food.
They were still serving coffee. And it was the perfect gesture of hospitality. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we don't know what the future holds, but Sue is still open.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still delivering coffee to UPMC and to Penn State Health and wherever you were needed, Holy Spirit at the time. You're delivering nourishment and food and just a constant soft reminder that we are a community and we're better together and we're going to get through this. Mm-hmm. And that's what I took out of having you open, which I loved having you open.
Thank you.
At the risk of you, your health and your team. But... So I think my point is when you start with your business idea, it's never just the business.
No, no.
You know, never we could talk. How many people do you employ?
Right now, I'd say about 20. Yeah.
So that's 20 and spouses and significant others. And there's new moms that are, I just saw one in today with her little guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge investment in the community.
It is. Yep. You may think it's insignificant, but it's not. It's very important.
Oh, I think it's one of the most significant things in Camp Hill.
Yeah. Well, think about that. All the women-owned businesses.
I know.
Along Market Street in Camp Hill. And, you know, if we can affect 10 people, great.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Now, what is there anything, Sue, we love to talk about business vitamins, and you shared several. Anything you would tell your younger self? That you can say on this podcast.
Yeah, right.
Well, is there any lessons or maybe an element of surprise? You were surprised to know how confident you were or, anything you would say, I wish I had done this better.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and we've already touched on it. I wished I had had a mentor.
Yeah.
I wished I had been able to see more of the financial part of my business.
Right.
I mean, I see it now, but it took me a very long time. I really, you know, I did everything that I've done over the past 35 years through intuition.
Yeah.
You know, it just sort of, that feels good. That sandwich will sell. That cookie that we just came up with the recipe for, that's going to sell. But, you know, the real nuts and bolts of that business, I wished I had had someone there.
When you go to
the
bank loan officer and you say, I just have a hunch I'm going to succeed.
Yeah, right.
They're like, yes. No.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work. Yeah.
But right. Without that, without the intuition,
which
is the secret sauce to success for almost every small business
that's
owner.
That's what a culture's built on, believe it or not.
And if you're not oozing with that, there's nobody's going to invest. They're going to say, well, why do I feel more excited? Even when you watch Shark Tank, you see those entrepreneurs like jumping out of their skin. Like this is, I love what I do and I think it will add value. Mm-hmm. I did not have an early mentor either, but what I would say is go find someone you admire. Mm-hmm. Now younger women know to ask. If someone hasn't approached you to be in a mentor-mentee relationship, it doesn't have to be a big formal contractual thing. It's look around your community to some executives that you admire.
Right.
Want to aspire from. And the mentor relationship is as simple as saying, can we meet for coffee once a month? Of course, at Cornerstone.
Of course.
And can I ask you 5 questions every time we meet?
And, you know, over the years, I have done something like that with, you know, certain people.
Right.
Yourself included, Anne. So I found my niche of mentors, which is great that I can...
Your tribe.
Yes, my tribe of people. And I know, Annie, you've mentioned you got to have a board of advisors, you know, 100%. Which sounds like it's just so
successful.
They'll
tell you the truth.
Yes, right.
There's no cosmetic part to it. I know they love me. I know they understand me. I know they value me, all the things that are important to me. I know they're loyal. And so I couldn't, I think that that circle of influence, Sue, has shrunken as time's gone on. But I think that's by design. I'd much rather plug into someone who has that special currency versus sort of the losing proposition of trying to be all things to all people.
Yes. No, we can't.
None
we just
of us
can't.
Can.
I wanted to, Annie.
We all did.
Couldn't.
Right.
And learned that.
That's it. And we're out of time, of course. And I don't usually extend. Anne does, but what I want to observe about you, and again, my intuition or my instinct is, I believe when there's conflict or difficult things that have to be addressed, I think you probably have a conversation, don't you?
I definitely do.
No, you two are very similar.
Yes.
You two are very, you both wear the same big girl pants.
Right. And just to gravitate toward that because that's how I communicate. I communicate that way for a living.
Truth serum.
I communicate that with ourselves. And look, I know there are times when I misfire from a style standpoint, I wish I had done it differently. And usually I just have to like make a several laps around till I land, right? And because you're just qualifying, but that's just the way it is, right? So I think that is an art form to be able to have and technology drives me batty, which is also why I love Cornerstone, because I like people.
Yeah,
I don't want a text. I don't want an email. Could we just like, I said, can you just call someone? Like call? Like
what?
On the phone? Well, I don't know how else unless you have a megaphone. And so I just appreciate that about you. And I don't think that's old school. I don't think that's anything other than how people were meant to connect. And that's people like, I could never do that. That's too hard. Blah, blah, blah. But you either get to that crux of it or you don't.
Right.
And I don't think it's doing them any favors. Or whomever you're having the conflict with to communicate that. So I appreciate that about you.
And I definitely do that sometimes.
You have to if you're a leader, in my opinion, right?
Well, that's the hard part. You say before, Annie, sorry, I know you so well, Ann, but Annie, I heard you say that you're an acquired taste.
Oh, you've said that on
once a show.
Yes, once a show. So I will say the same thing about me. I think Ann would nod her head in agreement.
I had a quote I'm definitely an acquired taste. I had a quote later. It was Leo DiCaprio. I'm a big quote person. Yeah. I send my son one every day. And Leo DiCaprio said, I'm 97% sure you don't like me. I'm 100% sure I don't care. That's Leo.
Oh, God.
Here I come, guy. You know, that is me. And right. And I say I don't care just insofar as I don't. Like, I get it. Like, I probably don't like you either. Yeah, right? You're right. It's all good. Like, you know, and so I'll just find my way away as quick as I can get there. Right. So anyway, we do have to digress. You're down the street, so you come back anytime.
I know.
It's our show.
So I'm going to throw out to any listener who is thinking about starting a business. You have to stop in at Cornerstone Coffee House on Market Street in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania.
World headquarters.
It's not a far drive from wherever you are in Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Delaware or Maryland. And have some coffee time with Sue Perro.
Oh, and I would love that.
Learn what are some of the ideas you have, insights you have for young people who have big ideas and want to bring it to market.
I love that.
I think all big ideas start with a cup of coffee.
It's the art of the connection. Yes. Thank you, Sue Perro.
Have a high day, Sue Perro. We love you.
Thanks, Ian. Love you guys too. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. It's our desire that these stories will bring energy, ideas, and fresh thinking that you can use today. Subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Instagram, and have a high gear day.